Can somebody say amen? All right. I see in Mark chapter 1, verse 14. Now after that, John was put in prison. Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. The word repent there, you can put in your Bible, return to the original state. Return to the original state. So the idea about it is having a return back to the original state of mankind. You and I, as humans first, were designed to live in the Garden of Eden, in a garden atmosphere, a place of peace and joy and in plenty and all of that. That's why you see people today, and they're trying to come, many people are trying to get a visa or trying to get U.S. citizenship because they're trying to come from some countries, maybe somewhere in Mexico or some of the islands or some of the other nations, because they're seeking a better life. They want a better life. They want the peace and the joy and so forth that they've maybe seen on television or heard about that's going on in the United States. Well, imagine how much peace and joy and so forth there was in the Garden of Eden. I mean, that was a place of voluptuous living. It was a place of plenty where Adam didn't have to earn a living. God provided everything that he would need in terms of provision. You know, Pastor Cassie said something here. You know, why would God give you a vision or give you something big to do and then make you pay for it? I mean, that doesn't even make sense. That's first of all. And so maybe we'll talk about a little bit of that as we go into this. Now, today, what's the condition of the world? Pretty much, the world is growing more and more dysfunctional. Over in Isaiah chapter 60, he says, arise, verse 1, arise and shine, for thy light is come, for the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness to people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. The world is mainly becoming more dysfunctional in terms of how it operates, even though technology is moving on, it's becoming more chaotic. And as you can see, terrorism is at an all-time high. The things that are happening in people's lives are almost devastating. We're hearing about accidents and things happening today we've never heard about before. So these things are happening in this earth. And what we are coming to is the fact that the church, what it's been called to do, is no longer an option, but it's now a requirement, is that the church has to get involved. Because basically the church has somehow been avoiding some of the things and kind of, man, that's the world, that's the world's problem. I mean, drug, that's the world's problem. Literacy, well, that's the world's problem. They need to come into church, so forth and so on. God deliberately dispatches the righteous among the wicked. And he does that because you and I have the solution. We're the solution bearers for the earth. We're the ones that have the strategies and have the knowledge that it takes really to solve the earth problem. But not only that, that story of Joseph is a prophetic story, and it's really talking about Christ and the church. And if you notice, remember, Joseph, after he had gotten in jail and then Pharaoh had a dream, he called him up to give him interpretation of the dream. So we have supernatural interpretation of things through the wisdom of God. And so now Joseph told him what he dreamed or what the dream meant, and told him that 7 years you're going to have X things happen, and then 7 more years you're going to have X things happen. So let's just say it like this, instead of just reading it just as Joseph, that we should be at least 15 to 20 years ahead of the human race. At least. Now, I don't know if you know about some of the large corporations, but some of these large corporations are doing strategy and plans for their corporation 10 and 15 years out. Easily, 25 years out, this is what we're going to do. And so they're projecting out, well, what's happening to the body of Christ? The Bible talks about the Spirit of Him that, you know, that the Holy Spirit will come on us and He'll guide us to all truth. He knows things that are coming. If you look at the book of Genesis, in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 4, you'll see that Enoch could see some things. The Bible talks about that God just took it. And if you go over, let's go over there to Jude 1. And over in Jude 1, well, in only one Jude, I guess. Okay. But over in Jude, look at verse 14. He said, "And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." So notice what he said. Look at that. And verse 14, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints." He saw from seventh from Adam what was going to happen in the book of Revelation. He saw it. Let's go to another place. Let's go over to 2 Kings chapter 6. I'm in 2 Kings chapter 6. And in 2 Kings chapter 6, now, I'm only saying all of this because the church is supposed to be operating supernaturally. We're not supposed to be naturally operating. Here's something you might want to remember. There is no place in Scripture where human logic ever produced a miracle. No place. If you could figure it out, a miracle is not going to come out of that. You know? And you got to, you know, be bold with this thing. Look what it says here. This is when the Syrian army had surrounded Elisha and his servant Gehazi. And the Bible says that Elisha knew from by the Spirit of God which way the enemy was going to come to attack. You know, one man said, all you have to do to get rich is find out where everybody's going and just get there first. And there's a lot to that, because what it's saying basically is that if you know what's coming, then you could set up for it. You could plan for it. Think about it. If you knew when a stock is going to have a split or whatever have you like that, you could buy that stock, boom, split. You've doubled your money right there. Or you could have no situation where something else was going to happen. You could plan for it. So my point to you is that the church should be seers. The church, we should be able to see at least our own lives. And I don't think that's been taught, because as they said in computer, garbage in, garbage out, that you'll only be as strong as the input that's going inside of us. So we need to be taught some of these things. Look what it says here. I'll look at 2 Kings chapter 5 and look again, verse 6. And this is when they were surrounded by the Syrian army. And you know the story, but I'm just going to highlight a couple of things. Look at verse 15. "And when the servant of the man of God was risen up early and gone forth, behold, the host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, Alas, master, what shall we do?" So now this situation here that is hopeless in the natural, hopeless. Anything that seems impossible in the kingdom is a deception. You got it? Okay. Verse 16. "And he answered, Fear not." Now, what does fear do? Fear eliminates the ability that you and I have to see in the spirit. Fear. That's why you can't serve two masters. It's fear or it's faith. Okay. One or the other. And so what you got to do is get rid of that fear. No matter what's going on, fear not, because it limit you to what the enemy is doing. And look what it says, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." Now this is what Elisha said. And Elijah prayed, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." Now I challenge you, weren't his eyes already open? Because he saw the horses and chariots. He saw the Syrian army. So what eyes was he talking about? He's talking about the spiritual eyes. So, if you come and look at the scriptures, one of the things that Jesus was trying to do with the disciples is help activate their spiritual senses. Because just as you and I have natural senses, we also have spiritual senses. Well, let's just look at that. Let's look at Luke chapter 16. He went there, but let's use it for another lesson. Luke chapter 16. Now, verse 19, there was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain man, a beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Now, you know all of that, the dogs, people coming. You know, dogs have saliva. Saliva is in the dogs. When they have a scar or something, they lick it. Inside of that saliva is some healing. But he said the dogs came and licked the sores. And this healing remedy was supposed to do something for him and get him well and so forth like that. You'll find that people who have damaged emotions many times, they draw dogs. And the people don't really mean them any good. It's not any kind of lasting relationship, but they seem to go through the same thing that they went through with the last relationship. Who let the dogs out, right? Okay. Okay, but look at verse 21. Desiring to be fed with the crumbs. Look how far low he's gone. So notice, God will give you the what? Desires, come on, of your heart. So he desired crumbs. And a lot of God's people are still desiring crumbs. And there, God has taken us up to a whole nother level. Let me just give you a couple of things here. The biggest billionaire in the world is in poverty compared to what God wants to do for you. You cannot get enough jobs to earn what God wants to do for you or give to you. You can't get enough jobs. So the church many times has offered biblical justification for staying broke. There are levels of wealth that you don't even know exist. Now God wants to get into those. Now Brother Copeland made a statement last night, and that was so powerful. And he said, that all that Satan controls since Jesus was raised from the dead, 100% of what he controls has been stolen. It's all stolen. And the thing about it, he has made the church, in many cases, feel like we've got to earn it to get it back. And we don't. Now, I'm saying here, Lord, open their eyes. I'm saying that there is a spiritual reality that is present that has already happened. Let me give you another scripture here. I want to show you this. Now, spiritual things are for spiritual people. You know, you can be carnal enough and not get much out of this. Look what it says over in Revelation chapter 5. Look at that. Revelation chapter 5. Verse 11. And I beheld and I heard a voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them were 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive what? Power and what? Riches. And what else? Wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. We're going to talk about blessing in just a minute. But look at the word riches. Okay. Now, how rich is rich? Are you following what I'm saying? See, I'm saying that what happens many times is we're trying to bring some spiritual truth and examine it through a carnal mind. And what we need to do is take it back up there where it is. Now, how do you get it? You have to download it. And most of the church is on released 3.2. And God is at 12.12. Now, understand, you have the mind of Christ. That means you are capable of thinking on the level of God. So when you get it, you can't get it through the experience or through trial and error or through a process of logical segmented thinking. You can't get it through that way. You can't get there. You got to download it. And when you download it, you've got to receive it before you can believe it. Lord have mercy. Do you know what I'm saying? You just got to receive it. God spoke to me and said, all right, I want you to pay off the jet. Now, we had leased it, but he said, I want you to pay it off. Well, she called a guy, and he wanted, I don't know, $6, $7 million, whatever it was. And I said, okay. Now, I understand, all this is a download. This is not, I didn't get this through some kind of process of me logically getting to something. And I said, okay. He said, all right, I want you to pay it off in 3 months. Now, that's like that Numbers chapter 11, that's when Moses choked. You know? God said, I'm going to feed all these people meat for a month without a refrigerator. Praise God. And so now I won't push him back because I know it's a kingdom thought. They say, repent. Come back to the original. Come back to thinking like you're supposed to think. Because other than that, the church doesn't need any religion. If Christianity has no proof, it's like any other religion. And that's why the churches are not packed. People standing in line. Because we're coming back from spying out the land and giving people a report based on our senses. Folks, to see the supernatural, you must teach supernaturally. Don't ever think anything different. So how rich is that? Because that I just read out of Revelation is your inheritance package. That's yours. Jesus got it. He won it for you through his blood. Now, what are you going to do with it? First of all, you got to look at this. He's telling you don't even have no longer are you going to think with the wisdom of human men. No longer are you going to think that way. Then it says here, rich. He said, riches. You've been made rich. You've read it in Psalm 112. Wealth and riches are in your house. You read it in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. He that was rich became poor that you through his poverty might be made rich. Now you read it over even in Luke chapter 19. There was a rich man who was a publican and a sinner named Zacchaeus. Well, how rich is that? And if you start looking that rich up in the Greek, you'll see plousios. And it's talking about richer than anybody else. And I'm talking about, I just see also on the front of Forbes magazine, they got the billionaire there. Guy from Mexico. The richest man in the world is supposed to be. In the world. I said in the world. See, if we're going to receive this, folks, we got to be set up to do and receive God's best. See, just to be saved is not enough. No, I better say it again. I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy. Okay, all right. Are you broke? Yeah, praise the Lord. Well, no. The church has been broken, sick. The church has been saved, but sick. Saved and broke. Saved and failing. Saved in marriage problems. Saved and paralyzed by past sins. Saved and condemned. Saved and guilty. Saved and struggling. Saved and depressed. Saved and paying no tithe. Saved and sleeping around. Saved and still harassing, being harassed by fear. Saved with no spiritual authority. Saved and still depending on a Babylonian demon control voodoo economic system to make things work. We got to get out of that. Pharaoh is a negotiator. That's what he said. He said the first thing, he said, listen, over in Exodus chapter 10 and verse 7 through 11, he said to them, he said, now listen, he said, now you can go, Moses. See, because power was making Pharaoh change his mind. Power. You need power. You need power. This is not an intellectual devil you're fighting. You need power. You need power, I'm telling you. And so he said, listen, this is what you do. He said, you're going to go ahead, but leave the let the men go and leave everybody else here. And Moses said to him, I'm not doing that. So notice what Moses did. Moses didn't compromise on his inheritance, on what God told him to do. He refused to do it. And Pharaoh came after him again. He says, hey, you know, you can go, but leave the livestock and so forth. Moses said, no, I'm not doing that. And I'm telling you, the church has got to come into a new knowledge and get our minds reset again on who we really are. And understand that daddy owns all of this. Man, I'm telling you, thank you, please. Anybody in the church who discovers what really belongs to them and who they really are, and that they don't have to accept the boundaries and the leftovers from the world, will start a revolution. And that's why you haven't seen a revolution. That's why you haven't seen the church get outraged about those Bibles coming out of those schools. Outraged about the poverty in this community and the crime. Outraged about the illiteracy of some of these people. Outraged because they don't own nothing. They don't see themselves as the recipients of this earth, that they're the ones who are to decide what stays and what goes. We are the church. Now, I know I'm probably talking to you a little stronger than the previous speaker, but that's what I do, praise God. I'm saying it's time for transformation. And the first transformation is going to have to be in our minds. We're going to have to reset them. We've been born again. We got all the equipment. Now, do you really know what's under the hood? Say amen to that. Amen. You just don't have a 327 anymore. You got a 402. Some of the men know what I mean by that. So what am I saying? Satan has had spiritual forces assisting the Gentiles. And that's what's made it so hard for God's people to move ahead. And we've got to now let go of the carnal and become spiritual. And over here, let's go back to Luke chapter 16, please, and just see this. Are you with me so far? The Bible says Satan has deceived the whole world. If the gospel of the kingdom is not preached, we are left with insufficient truth to overcome the enemy. Denominationalism can't overcome him. You have to switch to the gospel of the kingdom. And everything that kingdom implies. You know, I was just also studying a little bit more on justice this morning, and I'm going to come out in my book pretty soon on vengeance and recompense. And but if the church loses its desire for justice, it loses its relevancy. The church is supposed to be the ones. That's what happened to slavery when you're bringing it over here. The preachers wouldn't preach against it. So then the government backed it. They're looking for the church, folks. We're the leadership. We're the prophetic leadership for this world. They don't know. The Bible says in Psalm 82, they walk on in darkness. They don't know. Darkness is ignorance. Ignorance is intelligence without God. A person who has knowledge of and all these academic credentials and has not the knowledge of God is an ignorant person. And it is a matter of time how the devil's going to use them. The church is the light of the world. That's us. Nothing's supposed to go on in this community unless I say so. We're the ones. God has given us the ability, given us the authority, and given us the blessing. We'll talk about that in just a minute. All right. So what happens? Verse 21, desiring to be fed through the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes. Now, the rich man went to hell. Now, that's not to say all rich folks are going to hell. Because I'm rich. So are you. Say, I'm rich. You let it come out of your mouth. You got it. Folks, let me tell you something. You know, people don't like to preach on prosperity. Now, Pastor Cassie is preaching on that. He said the thing he likes about us is that we've got the Joseph School down there, business, teaching people, because business is a way of transferring, so forth and so on. But you got to teach on this. You can't tell people you got to teach it. People don't want to teach on prosperity, but they want me to help them out with their ministry. They want my money, but they don't want my message. You can't be like that. That's all I'm going to say about that. You get my picture. You got to teach on this. This is a part of the inheritance package, is riches. You don't increase outside without increasing first inside. Somebody's got to sow a seed of prosperity. You got to teach them. All right, look what it says next. Verse 24, and he cried and said, verse 23. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember, glory to God. All right? Let's just look at this. I'm talking about activating now our spiritual senses. So this man went to hell. In hell, he lifted up his eyes. Now, here's the deal. Where was the man's body? The body was 6 feet under in the dirt. Where was the man? He was in hell. So your spirit can live without your body, but your body can't live without your spirit. Okay? So here he is, 6 feet under, 6 feet under, with his eyes in his body, his mouth, his tongue, his fingers, everything. But here he is in hell with the same thing. See? So what we're saying is for something to exist naturally, it must first exist spiritually. Okay? Now that's real important, because there's a spiritual reality that is not less real, but more real than what you can see. And what God wants is for us to come over to the more real reality. And that's very important for you. Now, when Jesus cursed the fig tree, the fig tree dried up from the roots. Roots normally cannot be seen with the natural eye. But that's where it dried up from. So with the natural eye, maybe what God has for me cannot be seen. But for me to get it in the physical, I'm going to have to first, Lord, see it in the spiritual, called revelation. You got what I'm saying here? So people feel that because they can't see something here, it doesn't exist. Yes, it does exist. You have been made rich beyond your natural wildest imagination. That's how rich you are right now. Now rejoice about it. Now, I'm just saying this because he's talking about this money thing. See, you're in the season of the latter rain. You're in a time where the church is going to have no more mourning. That we are going to be comforted. Poor, are y'all here? Lord have mercy. Take me somewhere I want to go right now. Let me finish it because I want to take you to one more topic. So Jesus spoke to that tree and cursed it. Now for it to be affected in the natural realm, what did he affect to make that happen? The spiritual realm. That's why I'm telling you it was dried up from the roots. When Jesus spoke to the storm, he said, peace, what? Be still. And there was a great calm. All right? They said, even the wind and the sea obey him. Can I see wind? Nope. But can I see the sea? Yes. Got it? So each time he's telling you that Jesus never attacked a problem on the level of the leaves. Because that's not the way Adam operated. See, the carnal mind has been trained on this level. That's why the enemy has kept the wealth. For you to receive something in the kingdom, you're going to have to first receive it spiritually. The enemy knows it. So if he can keep you out of that spiritual realm, Paul said there's some things I'd like to tell y'all, but y'all too carnal to get it. He said, where there's envy and racism and all that among you, you're carnal. You can't get this. But I'm telling you, there's a wealth out there about to come in. Boy, boy, boy. Now, I want you to see the process of this. See, this process, because he used faith to do it. He said to them, where's your faith? We use faith to do this. And faith is a law that's higher than the law of sin and death. It's law, a higher law than time. It's a higher law than you can see here physically. Faith is. And so he used that faith to operate this law. And here's this tree. He didn't have any doubt as to whether or not this tree was going to do what he said. He came back and taught, whosoever shall say to this what? Mountain. All right, now stay with me. So now God gives God gives Adam the blessing. Now put it up there, Genesis chapter 1. No, wait. Before you do that, I'm moving you too fast. So what am I saying? Here's this jacket. This is the way it looks, right here. But look the way it looks when I put it on. Thank you, appreciate it. Got it? That's the way it looks when I put it on. Are you following me? Now, when did it take shape? When I got in it. Got it? But what? Why does it have a long part right here? Why? Because that's what I have. Come on. Why does it have to shape that? Because that's what I have. So the only reason your body has eyes is because you have eyes. The only reason your body has a tongue is because you have a tongue. Got it? So we need to activate the spiritual side of us and taste and see that the Lord is good. He that has ears to hear, he's not talking about your natural ears, it can't hear this. Got it? Now I'm saying if you start operating on that level, it'll bring you into a whole dimension, new dimension of being able to do the things that God's called you to do and so forth and so on. Because I'm just downloading this stuff. I'm downloading. He said, all right, have it in 3 days. Pay the airplane off in 3 months. Now I'm thinking all these millions of dollars, all these other things we got to pay for and so forth. 3 months. Wait a minute. Now, if you give me 3 years or, you know, I'm thinking. He said, no, 3 months. Why? He's not trying to make it possible. Because there's no impossibilities in the kingdom. He's trying to get me to leave that realm of relying on what I can do, so forth and so on. See, and he gives you something. I heard either last night or somewhere, the vision that he gives you, it's out beyond you. He puts it out beyond you on purpose. See, God is a jealous God. He doesn't like any competition. That's why he had to get Abraham out of there, because he would rely on his folks. Sometimes he gets you out from around these relatives. He gets you in a place where they won't loan you no more money. And what happens is the church starts backing up on that. No. That's your home. Your home is the supernatural. Your home is there. You're just trying to keep your flesh in it. Get your flesh out of it and get you in it. That's who God wants to come alive. The whole world is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of the mature ones. Those who are walking in the spirit. Without the kingdom, the world will not survive. We're the ones that are going to go in there and keep that drug problem from coming up. That lady broke in that place that day and she said, Pastor, she said, who's the pastor? And I said, I'm the pastor. This is when we were in that storefront church down there in Dodge City. And so she said, who's the pastor? I said, I'm the pastor. She said, I got a problem. We had a problem. I said, what? And she was kind of crying. She said, I've got drugs on our block and they're selling drugs from 12 noon till midnight. And they won't, my kids can't go play. They're selling drugs all on our block and so forth. I said, all right, get in a circle and pray. Now, what am I going to do? I'm going to download. because prayer is the way I communicate with God. So I'm a download. I got to get an answer. I need one. Not tomorrow. I need one right now. Come on now. You need money right now. Come on now. Come on. You need a healing right now. Come on. And to let Satan negotiate you out of this time thing. So what happened? I said, all right, boom. Susan started praying. Boom. Here it comes. She said, what? Tell her to get this bottle of oil. You bless the oil. Tell her to go down there and pour it on the street. I said, all right. Got the bottle of oil. I said, lady, God's telling me to bless this oil and give it to you, and you go pour it out in the middle of that street. She said, oh, okay. Now, when you're desperate, you'll do all kinds of things, see? So she took that oil, and in the natural mind, that sounded foolish. She didn't tell me to tell her to go to the precinct, get the police, tell the police chief about it, so forth and so on. Watch club, vigilantes, so forth and so on. Didn't tell us to do none of that. Tell us to do this. Take the oil and pour it down the middle of the street. He took the oil and poured it down the middle of the street, came back 4 or 5 days, laughing and grinning. I said, Pastor, what? Guess what? Well, they came out for 1 hour the next day and left, never came back. I said, I know they didn't. Now notice, God's remedy didn't make sense because it was supposed to make faith. And God's people sometimes are going to places and trying to do things where they don't have to use 1 ounce of faith. And without it, you can't even please God. So I'm saying step up to the next challenge and let God know that you and he are a team and you're working together. And whatever situation you got, God is going to give you what you need to take care of it. I said you can feed the whole community. Come on now. I'm talking about we can have schools for every orphan. I mean, send them to the best schools with no money. We'll pay for it. Not talking about a little bit of money. God's about to transfer trillions. Trillions. Trillion has 12 zeros. Write it on your paper right now. Write it. 1 trillion. I'm going to make you see it. Because if you can see it, you can say it. And when you say it, you're going to have it. The devil is a liar. There are people that are hiding money that belongs to you. They're hiding it in offshore accounts. They're hiding it in numbered accounts. They're hiding it in Netherlands and Denmark. They're hiding it in some of the other places. Some of them even got pallets of gold in their basement and so forth. I got good news. The angels are going around. Just put up here, right quick, let's put up Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. The devil is a liar. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And that's one of the biggest things that the enemy stole when Adam fell. He stole the image of God from him. And our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and with cattle and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. You cannot have dominion without power. Verse 28. And God blessed them. Underline blessed. And God said unto them, what? Be fruitful. Wow. Got it? Light what? Be. You know the word be? Powerful. And multiply. Replenish the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, the cattle, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon this earth. Nothing is to be allowed here without your permission. Nothing. Now you got to see yourself and have somewhat of a superiority, watch how I say this, attitude, not arrogant, superior. Paul said, we don't think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. What's the implication? Think highly. Just don't think more highly. So notice, he wasn't communicating with Adam. He was transferring the power. What power? The power of the blessing. The same power God used to create the earth, he's now passing on to mankind to control the earth. Same power. Same power. I bless you. What does it mean when Jacob blessed, or Isaac blessed Jacob, or Jacob blessed the Jacob got blessed by Isaac instead of Esau. Jacob was blessed by Isaac. It meant that he empowered him to prosper. And when he blessed him, it's a way that we endue another person with a power of God. To bless means to empower, or by faith. I want to say it like I had it written one time. Empowering something to come to pass. In other words, you don't have to be there. All you do is release the blessing. Christ has redeemed us from what? The curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, curse is everyone that hangeth on the tree. Why? So that the blessing of who? Abraham. Okay. So he's blessed. And you're blessed. He needs to say something and by faith empower it to come to pass. So he, right away, Esau came in here and tried to get a blessing. And what did he say to Esau? I just gave the blessing. So it's not but one blessing. Not but one blessing. And that blessing is so powerful that it can transform any place on earth into a garden. Because that's what everybody's looking for. They're looking for transformation. That's a new word. That means you provide jobs. It's not just hallelujah. People need work. I'm talking about the church takes all this responsibility. You don't have to do all of it. What you have to do is bless it. Now, I've seen a man wrote me and showed me what was happening in Newark. They were walking down the street blessing everything. And all of a sudden, Zuckerberg, who owns Facebook, decided to give Newark $100 million. And next thing you know, they had crime drop from the highest crime area in the United States down to 10% of that. Next thing you know, why? What are they doing? Blessing it. What are they doing? Calling heaven down to earth. And you got the authority to do that. Abraham was a possessor of heaven and earth. You got the ability to do that. So I'm saying, as we're going forth into these days to come, that the world is crying out for the blessing because they don't have any natural remedies. The intelligence of Egypt could not have them avoid the famine that was coming. They put up pyramids. They had the finest cloth, Egyptian broadcloth, is still the cloth today. They had the finest horses, Arabian horses. They had the finest of everything. They had the chemist. They knew how to embalm people, all that intellect. But what was coming, they didn't have it, the knowledge to handle. You've got it. It's called the blessing. Say the blessing. Is on my life. So here's Joseph, and that blessing was on him. And what was he blessed to do? Keep the world from starving to death. Went down there, And the blessing kicked in. Why didn't it kick in up there where he was? Because sometimes God has got to get us in a place where the mechanism inside of us will kick over and the blessing can manifest. But the blessing takes faith to manifest. And sometimes you're just too much fish for your tank. God has to put you in another environment. So many times he sends us to hard places. Why? Because one, he wants to show people who God really is. Isaiah 61, it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, set at liberty them that bruise, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Then it says, and the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all that mourn. Isaiah 61, over in Luke chapter 4, that part wasn't preached. He closed the book. Why? Because that was Jesus' ministry. Jesus wasn't supposed to build a thing. He didn't build not one orphanage. He didn't build not one schoolhouse. He didn't build not one business because that wasn't his ministry. But now the Holy Ghost has come upon the church. Come on down to verse 4. And they shall build. Y'all with me? Transformation. That's the name for it. Transformation. You're going to build everything. You're going to have people in your ministry, they're going to build up all kinds of things. So this is your time. The Bible says over in, look at it, put it up on the board. I think it's Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 8. He says this. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Praise God. Folks, I've been meditating on the word greater works. Sometimes people think greater works mean that we do more, you know, it's more in number. I'm talking about greater works. Folks, I'm hearing where a boy was prayed for because he was undersized for his age and in 3 days grew 6 inches. Come on, help me now. Say greater works. Put up Mark chapter 9, please, verse 23. Okay, I'm going. My wife tells me to quit. Okay? Isn't it good to have a good wife? Jesus said, if thou can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. You are a believer. And it doesn't make any difference whether somebody else has done it before. God can download it right into your heart. He told me, he said, get envelopes, make them red for the blood, put airplane fund on it or whatever. He said, no, tell everybody that you'd like to have them be used to harvest. He says, God's going to fill the envelopes up with $1,000 an envelope. And if they don't want to participate, no problem. Show them the scripture of Esther, where Mordecai told Esther, Esther, if you don't go in to see the king, God would deliver us some other way. See, tell them don't feel any pressure about it. Whew, miracle after miracle. Paid it right off. So I'm saying what God did for me, he's going to do for you. It's a time for the harvest. God's going to have you just gathering in revelation. Come on, gathering in new members and so forth. And it's a good time to be saved. Did you get something out of that today? Praise God. All right. I need to see what's happening next. All right, we got a break next. Okay, I took part of your break.